Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 184 for January 26th, 2009. Once again on location in Victoria, British Columbia. This time around, I'm at the bar in the Grand Pacific Hotel on Victoria's Inner Harbor. Victoria's Scottish community gathered in Beacon Hill Park Sunday to mark the 250th anniversary of Robert Burns' birth. There's a statue honoring Burns in the park that was erected back in 1900. Brian Habick of the Saltire Society of Victoria presided over the ceremony.
Well, obviously, Burns means a lot to not only people in Victoria, but to people all over the world, and they're not necessarily all those of Scottish descent. There are quite a number of Scottish societies in Victoria. Some of them are related with to Highland dancing, some of them are singing, some of them, like us, are people who get together from time to time and have some celebrations of Scottish things. And to all of us, Burns has a significant impact. He was a man of the people, and he was a man that in his poetry said things which are still very relevant to nowadays.
Such as?
Well, I think the poem that I quoted just now, A Man's a Man for All That, talks in no uncertain terms about the brotherhood of man and his belief that one day we would be brothers and sisters. Inclusive language was not part of Burns' time. We would be brothers and sisters all over the world, and he wrote that over 200 years ago, and one hopes that it's going to come into play. He also, of course, was a man who had many things to say about love, and not only man's love for women, but man's love for each other. I think that his memory will linger on for a long time. It's been an unfortunate thing that so much of his poetry was written in Lowland Scots, because so many people don't fully understand it without a dictionary beside them. But I think the sentiments come through, and some of the poems that he wrote in pure English were beautiful also.
What's your favorite Burns poem?
My favorite Burns poem, apart from A Man's a Man for All That, is probably a little two-verse poem, John Anderson, My Joe John, which is a poem written supposedly by a woman in her old age for her sweetheart husband, recounting the love that they've had together and which has persisted into their old age.
John Anderson, John, when we were first acquaint, your locks were like the raven, your pony brew was brent, but now you're torn and old, John, your locks are like the snow, but blessings on your frosty paw.
That's Joanne Gilmartin, who performs Burns songs and poetry and teaches about the Burns legacy. You can hear my interview with her in episode 128 from last January. Now, Burns was known for his love of whiskey, of course, and only one distillery has the right to use the Burns name on Scotch whiskey. Isle of Arran Managing Director Ewan Mitchell is in Victoria for Burns Night as part of the Victoria Whiskey Festival.
Since 2001, Isle of Arran distillers have been patrons of the World Burns Federation, which is the organisation who promotes his legacy and protects, you know, his heritage around the world. At that time, they issued 37 patronages to companies in Scotland, and we were the only whisky company to be involved. And since that time, we've produced the Robert Burns blend and Robert Burns single malt, which uniquely feature his signature and image on the packaging. And we've been promoting these products around the world since then. So.
Even though Burns never actually went to Arran, correct?
Well, there's,
as we can tell.
There's no written evidence of him having visited the island, but he grew up on the Ayrshire coast looking across to Arran, and he wrote of the beauty and majesty of the island in his poetry, so it was certainly a place very close to his heart. So.
Now, tell me about the other whiskies that you've done honoring Burns, because I know you did a special one for this year honoring the 250th anniversary.
Yes, we've 2009 marking this 250th anniversary, but we thought this was an opportunity not to be missed, a great event to be marked. So we brought out a special edition of the Burns malt, and for this bottling, our distillery manager, James McTaggart, he selected 15 sherry casks from 1998 and put the, you know, vatted these together some months ago to provide a very rich, full-bodied expression for this special bottling, quite different in character to the regular Burns malt.
And this was only sold in the UK and Canada, correct?
No, we actually exported it to some other markets, France, Belgium, Germany, Switzerland. However, the UK and Canada have been by far the largest markets for this product.
Now, this has really sort of been an interesting year in 2008, just ending as we head into 2009.
Every year at the moment is marking the next chapter in the Arran story. Last year, for example, we released the first ever Arran 12 years old, and although this wasn't to replace the 10 year old, which really remains our flagship bottling, it was just to bookmark the next stage in the development of the Arran story.
What comes next?
Well, we've plans at the moment within a couple of years, probably to push the 12 up to becoming a 14 year old, and we're setting aside stocks to become an 18 year old as well. So ultimately, we think those would be the three core ages of the Arran range, 10, 14, and 18. We would keep some stock to age beyond that as well, but I certainly am of the opinion that Arran will be at its best somewhere between 10 and 20 years of age. It's already shows a maturity beyond its years. I think it will be its best within that sort of age range.
Now, this distillery has a fairly short history, but distilling's been going on in Arran for a long time before this distillery, correct?
Yes, the island has had a long association with whisky production and the whisky trade in general. It was really a centre for smuggling between Ireland and Scotland during the 18th and 19th centuries. However, there were at least three distilleries, licensed distilleries, known to have existed on the island, the last of which closed in 1837. So when our distillery opened in 1995, this brought legal distillation back to the island after a gap of more than 160 years. But also, out with that, during the 19th century, the early part, there was believed to be at least 50 illicit stills operating in the south end of the island. And certainly at that time, the Arran water trade, as it was colloquially known, was well known in the markets of Glasgow and Edinburgh, and the Arran whisky had quite a reputation at that time. So.
How is the water trade going today?
Not sure about the water. It's much more official these days. The whisky trade is going very well. We're experiencing good growth year on year. Obviously, like any small company in a global industry, we face a great deal of challenges, but our whiskies are now enjoyed in over 40 markets around the world, and we're really growing a fantastic reputation, and it's something we look to build on every year from now.
While Sunday the 25th was the actual anniversary, Burns Suppers will be going on all week long worldwide. The Homecoming Scotland organizers estimate some 9 million people will attend a Burns Supper over the next few days. I've posted several links at the WhiskeyCast website to help you celebrate your own Burns Supper. One news headline that came in after I recorded the last episode here in Victoria. You may recall the long-running dispute between Glenora Distillery in Nova Scotia and the Scotch Whiskey Association over the name of Glenora's single malt whiskey, Glenbretton. Late Friday, Canada's Federal Court of Appeal overturned a lower court ruling that Glenora could not use the Glenbretton name because it could confuse consumers into thinking they were buying Scotch whiskey. The Scotch Whiskey Association routinely goes to court whenever a distiller outside Scotland tries to use the word Glen in its labeling, and this battle has been going on since the year 2000. The SWA has the option to appeal the ruling to the Supreme Court of Canada. As of now, no announcement has been made on the association's plans. Finally, let's look at the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. As I mentioned last time, the Astor Center in New York City is offering WhiskeyCast listeners a special discount for its Bourbon and Bacon Expo on February 5th. If you go to the Astor Center website and use the coupon code WhiskeyCast, you'll get $20 off the regular $45 ticket price. Other events coming up over the next few weeks. Whiskey Live New Delhi is this Saturday, the 31st. The Linköping's Whiskey Expo is February 5th through the 7th in Linköping's, Sweden. Interwhiskey Munich is February 13th through the 15th, along with the International Malt Whiskey Festival in Ghent, Belgium. And Woodford Reserve will hold a Bourbon Academy class on February 21st at the distillery in Versailles, Kentucky. You'll find a complete calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig Quarter Cask.
Hi there, my name's John Campbell, Distillery Manager at Laphroaig Distillery. Become a friend of Laphroaig, claim your own square foot of Islay at laphroaig.com.
By the way, Laphroaig has a Burns Night site too. The address is www.robertburnsnight.info, and there's a link at the WhiskeyCast website. That's also where you'll find links for every episode, the calendar of events, my whiskey ratings, and the WhiskeyCast store, along with a complete archive of past episodes. The address is www.whiskeycast.com, and my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. I'd love to hear from you. That's all for this episode of WhiskeyCast. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2009, and comes to you this time around from beautiful Victoria, British Columbia. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.